722 back on the KYMN Morning Show. We are now joined via the miracle of telephone with Representative Christy Purcell of District 58A. Good morning, Representative Purcell.
Good morning, Rich. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here.
I'm not there in person.
Well, it's been a few late nights at the up in St. Paul, hasn't it?
We've had a few late nights, sadly, and we have 6 legislative days left, so there are probably still a few more to come.
Yeah, this is the home stretch here. I mean, this is the final 10 days, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Things are going fast and furious. But you've been named to at least one conference committee. Is that correct?
I have, yes. The Conference Committee on the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. So I serve on that committee in the House. And it was a surprise to me on Tuesday when they read my name. Some conference committees are having 5 members and some are having 3.
Oh.
So this committee, because it's just this committee with the Senate and the House, I just sort of made an assumption it would only be 3 committee members. So when they kept going and listing 5 names, that was a surprise to me, but trying to figure out the status of things in the Senate bill. They take oral amendments, they take amendments on the floor, and when they legislate till 4 in the morning, sometimes it's hard to even tell what got tacked on to their bills. So we're in a process of trying to just like suss out what is in their version of the bill. We know what's in our version of the bill, and then I think we're planning to conference on Monday. Look at the differences between the bills.
You've been on conference committees. You were on a conference committee or a couple of conference committees last year, correct?
Just one. Last year I was on the Agriculture Conference Committee.
With that committee, was it a long conversation? Is it tough to hammer out a deal in a conference committee?
You know, I did not do as much work on the committee as I think most. There's a lot of pre-conferencing that the chairs do, and like looking at spreadsheets and having staff do that process, which I just described, which is like, what the heck's in your bill? What the heck's in our bill? So it was fairly streamlined. I think we met twice last year, and one time was sort of the walkthrough of what they call the side-by-sides. So, you know, here's what's in the House version, here's what's in the Senate version, and then taking public testimony. So I don't have a ton of experience, so I'm really interested to see how this committee is different, how it's the same. And we have not, the speaker has not named conferees for the ag bill this year. Now, this year's a little bit different. We just passed it last night at about 11 p.m. off the House floor, but it's combined with commerce and climate and energy.
Oh.
So that one for sure will have 5 people from each chamber because it is 3 different omnibus bills. And that was the one I was sort of hoping to be a conferee on. But that one has not been named. So in the meantime, working on the Environment and Natural Resources Conference Committee.
Okay. So that's keeping you busy enough. But you guys last night, I've been getting emails all week long from the House of Representatives saying, House passed this bill. I mean, you guys have been, it's been a furious pace this week. But last night you passed a couple of finance bills, didn't you?
Yep, so we are finished with our finance bills. So we passed that agriculture, commerce, climate, and energy bill, and then we passed the health finance bill, and those both took many hours.
Yeah.
I forget how many in total. And the days have sort of run together for me a little bit. but then we did pass a couple of standalones and a couple of I'm forgetting the word. When we take what the Senate has sent over. So when we do the finance bills, that's where I think yesterday there had been 76 amendments submitted.
Wow.
Now, maybe one handful is like authors' amendments that come from the Democrats or the chairs, but mostly the other ones are Republican amendments, of which folks like to talk for a good long time mm-hmm. about those. And so that's why we're on the floor until midnight. That's why we're taking hours and hours to do this. But then once like conference committee reports come back, there's not an opportunity to do amendments. It's just a straight up or down vote. So that's why the speaker was calling this week and last week doom weeks, because this is the opportunity for the minority who, you know, really doesn't hold that many levers of power. So this is their opportunity to influence the bills, to make them less bad in their opinion. And so we really do need to take the time to hear the arguments, listen to the amendments. Mm-hmm. But that's why these days are so long, is when we do these finance and policy bills, we're taking and we're discussing a lot of amendments.
When it gets to be 2 o'clock in the morning and you're sitting on the floor and you've been on the floor for, you know, 9 hours at that point, do you ever feel the need to stand up and postulate on the House floor?
Well, I do not personally, because I like sleep and I like my personal time away from the floor. That seems to be the case for other folks. My mom watches along and will be texting like, oh, not this person again.
No, that's great.
So Kurt Dowd is not in the House, but he's got some accolades who love, I think, to hear their own voice.
Oh, yeah.
But I want to clarify, in the House, we have a midnight rule. So we end by midnight. Sometimes we do need to waive that, like to go a little bit later, but mm-hmm. we try to be a little bit more humane. Now, technically, the legislative day goes until 7 a.m. the following day.
Yeah.
So we could waive that. And what we saw in the Senate twice this week was that they went till 4 and 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then we've been gaveling in at about 11 a.m. So even, you know, going to midnight, that's a 13-hour day just on the floor. And
right.
I went in early yesterday because we had a bipartisan blood drive. So, you know, people are still doing work beforehand and, you know, on the floor and stepping off the floor to do those things. But they're still very long days, but we try to be a little bit more humane over in the House side than yeah. on the Senate side.
You know, I don't want to turn this interview into a gossipy thing, but I am really curious about the dynamic at the Capitol this time of year. I mean, Republicans and Democrats, this is when the two parties really, really, really start to go at each other and the claws come out and all that. But then you go to a bipartisan blood drive where you're sitting shoulder to shoulder with the people that you folks have been arguing with. Does it get testy at all? Or are we all professionals? And we all understand what's going on.
I like to think at least most of us are professionals
yeah.
and we understand, you know, we go to St. Paul to represent our constituents and we have a job to do. I do think, of course, as in any workplace, there's different personalities that you maybe jive more with or, you clash more with, and that's to be expected, especially there's 134 of us sitting on the House floor.
Right.
So, you know, that's true with folks my side of the aisle. That's true with folks the other side of the aisle. I will say, so the minority leader, Lisa Damus from Stearns County,
mm-hmm.
She's a person I hadn't really had an opportunity to, you know, chat with. We're mm-hmm. not in any committees together. I can't even see her from where I sit on the House floor.
Wow.
I'm kind of tucked in the corner.
Yeah.
And I think maybe Tuesday, it was Monday or Tuesday, it was a late night on the floor. And we're in the retiring room together. And I just kind of mentioned to her, oh, hey, my family farm, my century family farm, and it's fourth generation, is in your district. And she said, oh, where is it? And I said, oh, it's outside of Painesville. And she was like, I graduated high school from Painesville.
Hmm.
And like, we made this connection where my mother's cousin, who's now the family member who has our century farm, she was like, did he graduate from high school in 1985? Like, maybe I might know him, and we maybe graduate together. And it was this really beautiful moment, because there's so much that we do disagree on, but being able to connect. And I know this sounds trite, and it sounds like I'm just making this up, but really just to, like, humanize each other to each other. And I think there is, you know, some respect from most folks anyway, you know, on who we are outside of that chamber.
You know, I don't think that that's trite at all. Because especially in you know, political rhetoric today, both sides do their best to dehumanize the other side. Yeah. So when you're making a connection like that, as my voted representative, Chrissy, I appreciate you working across the aisle and making those connections with people like that.
Oh, well, that's important to me because we're colleagues. We spend a lot of time together.
Right.
So that's important. And I will say, like, the B side of the district, Pat Garofalo, has been especially jovial. You know, he's on his way out. He's not seeking re-election. But there was a kind of a silly moment we had on the floor last week on the tax bill. Or gosh, maybe that was this week, where he had submitted an amendment about the means of production, seizing the means of production, which I think is a communist thing. and so there was like a little bit of theater on the floor of, you know, we're not saying that you're a Leninist or a Maoist or a, I was not part of it. So it was just like a lovely light moment that we were all sort of laughing at the little poking at one another.
Just a little historical communist legislative humor.
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's great.
For all of us legislative nerds.
I love it. Okay, I've got to ask you a couple other questions real quick. I don't know how much time you've got, but sounds like Hubert Humphrey's going back to Washington, D.C.
I mean, that's the hope. That's the hope. So, so we have two statues in, I think it's of where what it's called in Washington, D.C. It's like the statue, the state statue. There's a whole building. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Really not speaking eloquently about this. And traditionally, each state, you know, sends two statues, and one is a civic leader, and then one is a political person.
Yeah.
And Henry Mower Rice is in the statue hall representing Minnesota, but things we know about his political career is not the best representation of Minnesotans. And so we passed a bill replacing that statue with Hubert H. Humphrey. And yes, he's a political, you know, person, but also just a community organizer and really a public servant.
Yep.
And so that got many Republican votes in support of. It was not just bipartisan. So I did reach out to the Rice County Historical Society saying, Henry Rice might be coming back our way since our county is named after him.
Right.
So it is unclear that if this does happen, what would happen to the Rice statue. But I'm in favor of sending Hubert H. Humphrey a capital that already exists on the St. Paul Capitol grounds, but sending that to Washington, D.C. instead.
You don't happen to know if that's the same statue that used to be in front of Minneapolis City Hall. Or no, maybe that statue is still there.
It might be.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, and tomorrow is Statehood Day, which means we have a new flag as of tomorrow.
Yes. So
and a new state seal.
This evening, the state flags are being lowered, at least at the Capitol complex. This is my understanding. It was discussed last night at about 11:30, or I guess like 11 o'clock to about 11:45 on the House floor last night. So it's a little fuzzy for me, but that the my colleagues on the other side of the aisle want to put this as a voting referendum to the voters in November, Instead, we had a panel of folks over the interim this last year decide this, and they're interested in having it be on the ballot. And so there's lots of discussion and postulating about that from both sides last night, late into the night. We're all a little punchy. But yes, I guess today sometime the old flags will be lowered, and then tomorrow sometime the new flags will be raised. And we have we wear little pins we're supposed to wear as a matter of kind of delineating that we are members. It gets me into the Senate chamber, it gets mm-hmm. me onto the House floor mm-hmm. Of the state seal. And so we also will have new lapel pins with the new state seal. And then the state seal is most often, because it won't be on our flag, it will be most often seen like on podiums when, you know, the governor is speaking sure. or things like that.
So the governor's, I suppose, emblem is going to change a little bit then, isn't it?
I would imagine.
Yeah, I guess.
I know that folks have been, you know, working on this rollout now for for months and months, the staff, because of the legislation that we passed. But I am really excited. And I have seen the new flag flying around Northfield several places when I've been walking my dog. So there's some folks who are really upset about it. There's some folks that are really excited. And I think most folks will just be somewhere in the middle. I know, like, in my children's school, of course, there's a state flag and there's a U.S. flag, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure how easy that is to replace, or when different municipalities will make that changeover, but that'll be kind of a fun thing to sort of keep an eye out.
It will be. Very interesting. Well, Representative Purcell, we have kept you for far too long already, so thanks for your time.
Well, thank you so much. I wish I was there in person, but soon, hopefully soon, I'll be back in the district quite a bit more. Well, so thank you so much, Jeff.
Hopefully when the session is over, you'll want to come back in and maybe just do a whole recap conversation with us.
I would love that, Rich. Thank
you. Awesome. Okay. Thanks, Christy.
Thank you. Take care.
See you later.